I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Make the lame to walk and the blind to see. Open up prison doors, set the captives free. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Spring up, O well, down in my soul. Spring up, O well, and make me whole. Spring up, O well, and give to me new life abundantly. Some of us got that. You know, some of us got that. And scientifically, three types of rivers, and some of you scientists out there may know that, or you good history students may know that. You have your Young River. You have that's up at the top of the mountain, and it flows down real fast, and it's full of steam, and it just goes, whew, and it'll take everything with it, rocks and everything else. Then you have your old river, or excuse me, your mature river. And the mature river is still in the mountains, but it's at the foot of the mountain. And it flows and it widens and creates meanders. And then you've got that old river that's in the plains, on the flat land. It's just a constant. Not easily moved, not easily shaken, doesn't change its course very much. And it takes all three types of rivers for us to feed, to fish, and to be nurtured. And it takes those types of rivers in the church. Because we do have some folks that are on fire today, and they'll run when they catch this prophetic unction. Then we'll have some that'll run a little further and just kind of clamp down. And then you've got that steady flow. It's not going to get too high or too low. It'll remain constant. And that's what we need. We saw how to flow, but now let me just give you a little foundational principles. Proverbs 12 and 18. You know, just kind of, as Dennis said earlier, you know, a lot of this is going to overlap. And I'm just going to ask you guys to just, while I'm talking, if you don't mind, just to play something. And the reason being is because I still believe that when we're dealing with this prophetic piece that comes through worship, and we know who was the worship leader in heaven, an angel called Lucifer, created but he got a little bit too high-minded. And he doesn't like this stuff being done by these guys. And he doesn't want the breakthrough to come when we minister. He doesn't want you learning what you're learning right now. He doesn't want you to understand how to apply the scripture to the works that you've seen. Because then you become a tremendous threat to him. And the news is out. There's a public broadcast that he can do nothing without your permission. Think about that. He has no authority over you. None. Those of you that are in Christ. Proverbs 12 and 18 says, the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue of the wise brings healing. So if before you give a prophetic utterance, think about the wisdom. Think about it before you speak. If you're uncertain, get some clarification. Talk to the pastor. Talk to the elders of the church. Talk to those that have the gift of discernment. And incidentally, let me just say this. We need to know what gift each member in the body has, because we need to know where to find what we need when we need it. If Ephesians 4 is really true, that says that we're all fitly and compactly joined together, and each joint supplies to the other what it needs. Well, if I need healing, I need to know where to go in the church to get that before I go to the doctor. I need to be able to come to my church family and get that. Okay? If I need mercy, if I need help, I need to know where to get that. So, the tongue of the wise brings healing. 1 Corinthians 14. I'm just going to give you some scriptures and just a little background here. 14 and 1. Pursue love. It says, earnestly desire these gifts. And I'm going to paraphrase the scripture because all of our Bibles may be just a little different version. But it says, for us to desire a spiritual gift, especially the gift of prophecy. We are told, Paul encourages us to desire this gift. So is prophecy dead in the church? Absolutely not. We are encouraged to want it, to desire it, to seek after it, to understand it. Now let me just give us a little something here. How do we prophesy? Go back to Proverbs 12 and 18 with wisdom. When do we prophesy? When the Holy Spirit tells us, when He leads us. We have to be sensitive to the leading of and the unction of the Holy Spirit. We dare not step out there on our own. Let the Spirit of God guide us. Why? The purpose and the motivation. You check yourself. Do I want to give this word so that because it's pressing on in me right now? Do I want to give it so that people can think I'm more spiritual? Why am I so encouraged or so inclined to want to share a prophetic word? What is my purpose? We have to check ourselves. Okay? Let's check our motive to see what's really the intent of us to give this word that we feel that's impressed in our hearts, in our spirit. And then the Bible says, try the Spirit by the Spirit, whether it be of God. Make sure that it's not under some sort of manipulation, because then that'll lead us astray. And that could cause severe damage. Okay? There's a lot of things I know how to do, but I don't think you want to come to me to put an engine in your car. That wouldn't be wise. I wouldn't be the man to do that. You don't want to come to me to lay a foundation for your house. Wouldn't be the man to do that. I could put up your ceiling fans. You'd be cool. But I couldn't stop the elements from coming in. You know, I had to go to Brother Mass and some of the other guys out there know how to do those things. So we have to know where in the body we can get the help we need and what our limitations are. Know your gifts. Okay? Genesis 37 talks about Joseph. Everybody knows the story of Joseph. When he got the dream, he had a dream. And God will speak to us in dreams. He speaks to some of you in a dream. And you get signs and symbols. And, you know, we had a chance to share that the other night. But the dream is yet for an appointed time. Just because you feel an unction, it may not be right then and there that you have to give it. And there's where checking yourself comes in. Checking with others in the church. How do I know when is the right time? Joseph dreamed that dream and he saw, you know, the sheaves bowing down to his sheath. But it happened years later in Egypt, when his brothers came to get food and they were bowing down at him because he was second in the land next to Pharaoh. So we gotta try this word and sometimes settle it. Let it bake a little bit. Let it marinate. And that takes a little patience. So you can see how the fruit of the Spirit comes in. Patience is one of the fruits, right? So we need that fruit to develop. And it takes time on a tree to develop that fruit. Okay? Now, when you look at Luke chapter 22, 17 to 20, and we went over that, the Last Supper, let me show you what this is. The Last Supper is about a prophetic reunion. There is a prophetic reunion that must take place in the church. Prophetic reunion. But God does it from the end to the beginning. Jesus spoke about his return when they ate together. When we come together, we are symbolized when we take communion. And you know, all of us have had communion, the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. But do we actually see the reunion that's taking place? Do we see the common union in that? In communion, there is a common union that must take place with the body of Christ. And prophetically speaking, Jesus told them, he said, look, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to have this union with you again until we do it in heaven. So he prophesied the end purpose of communion prophetically to meet in heaven. So our prophecies should be heavenly bound. Are you with me? Does that make sense? Okay. Now you've heard a lot of this, and I'm not going to go into any great detail, but I do need to touch base. Isaiah 9:6. The names of God are very important when it comes to prophecy. This is messianic prophecy. We know messianic is the Messiah. So we need to understand when we are given a word and a word is coming forth, what type of word am I receiving? Scripture. And I'll give you an example of how you can understand the scriptures. Because the fivefold ministry is how the scriptures are truly interpreted. We have the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. Okay? Everybody straight with the fivefold ministry. You've heard of those before? Those gifts? The apostle means sent by God, one sent forth to build, to establish, and to erect ministries. The prophet, to point the direction that the church is coming by receiving the word from God. That also, incidentally, all prophecy must be congruent with everything previously talked about in the word. It cannot go contrary to previous word. So it's a building process with prophecy. The evangelist, it's the big finger, and that's the one that goes out and, you know, is a soul winner. We're all supposed to be soul winners, but primarily an anointing to do miracle signs and wonders with power and conviction to spread the good news, the gospel of Jesus. The pastor, married to the church, why it's symbolizing as the ring finger, to govern these other bodies and the ministries, that the practical portion of the church, the gift of helps, the gift of ruling, the gift of government, the gift of discernment, the gift of healing, the gift of, you know, all of these gifts fall under the pastoral governing body. And then the teacher. You get a prophet to come in without a teacher present to interpret and to teach how that is supposed to be carried forth. See, prophets and teachers should go hand in hand. A true prophet will not prophesy if there is no teaching available. He'll hold the word until the teaching can appear. True prophecy. And true prophecy comes to pass. True prophecy does not lie. It will come to pass. In Genesis 37, Joseph's dream came to pass. Isaiah 9:6 calls God the Prince of Peace. It's a messianic prophecy. Isaiah 54:17, we know the scripture, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Okay? Ephesians 2:14 says he himself is our peace. Think about that. The Prince of Peace. He himself is our peace. And Revelation 21:3. Why? Behold, the tabernacle of God is among you. Think about that. We know the tabernacle as what? A dwelling place, correct? That's how we see it. A dwelling place for the Most High God. A place of worship. We are a holy tabernacle. I mean, yeah, this is the church and the tabernacle in the Old Testament, so on and so forth. But the tabernacle for the Holy Spirit is you and me. He dwells in us and is among men. So if I'm getting a prophecy and I'm going through some trouble, and I know that there's, just to give you an example, earlier I asked Hannah to stand up here. because of the spirit of love that she carries in her heart. And I said, just stand behind your dad while he's singing. And keep her hands up. Symbolic of when Moses had his hands up when the Israel were fighting and they defeated defeated Amalek in Rephidim. And as long as his hands were up, the battle was won. When his hands dropped, they started losing. And after a while, I went to her and I said, now open your eyes and look out among the congregation. And I want you to see who needs love. And just go sit with that person that needs love. And allow the Lord to do the rest. She stood there for a moment. She looked. She went and sat beside an individual that obviously needed much love. Lord began to allow ministry to take place. And it wasn't long before you were joined by others, was it? Love draws. A true word of prophecy will draw, it'll come with love in it. It will draw the gifts that's necessary. Okay? Everybody okay so far? We're good with that? Adonai, the Lord who is God. Remember, Israel couldn't even say his name. Well, we say Yahweh, but it didn't even have vowels in it. It was just YHWH, and they wouldn't even say his name because it was so sacred. Imagine calling on God like that. I told you about the scriptures, how they come to you. Apostolic, prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, or teaching. If I said to you, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You recognize that as what? Psalms 23. What type of scripture would that fall under? Anybody? I heard it. Pastoral scripture. That is a pastoral passage of scripture. We see David penning that on the backside of the desert as he was tending his father's sheep. And he recognized how God provided for him. So when we're in a place of, and we need provision, and we get a word like that, that is a pastoral unction of Scripture. And it should prophetically line up. And it should be confirmed under the pastoral leadership. Now I want to shock us a little bit with this next statement. Many times we want to pray for the sick. But those of you who have the gift of healing, Jesus did not tell you to pray for the sick. How many believe that? That he told you to do what? He said, heal the sick. He didn't say pray for the sick. He said, heal the sick. The gift of healing, that is an evangelistic call and commission to go forth with signs, miracles, and wonders and heal the sick. Now, James 5:14 says, they that are sick call on the elders of the church, and the effective fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. But he didn't say, go pray for the sick. Jesus commissioned you to heal the sick. There is a big difference there. And when you operate the way Jesus said operate, you operate under his authority and his anointing. And he now is responsible for carrying that out. Your obedience. When you came forth and said, the Spirit of the Lord is telling you we need to rejoice and we need to praise him. Look what happened. See, God will confirm his word when we understand what name to call on. He is multifaceted. El Shaddai is God Almighty. He's the promised seed. He does the impossible. And he's a covenant God. Now, I'm going back to Genesis. And he promised Abraham a son, did he not? Now, did the promise come right away? No. Abraham had to wait a while. But the promise did come, didn't it? So if God has told you something, guess what? It will come. Wait for it. The promised seed. There was a transformation that he gave. There was a land transformation. And in my notes here, there was a circumcision. when God dealt with Abraham and he dealt with Moses. And then on the eighth day, that's when the males were to be circumcised. But God promised Israel a deliverer. 450 years later, it came. God promised Canaan Mennonite a change. Some of you have been around long enough to see it take place. It wasn't always like it is now. But you waited on it. You've seen the transformation. When they left Egypt, they took all the spoil. They went in slaves and left out multimillionaires. 2.3 million people plus. And they got all of Egypt's good stuff. All of it. But guess what? There were no malls in the wilderness. There was no Walmart. There was no Heckingers. There was no Big Lots. No Lowe's. They couldn't go get materials. They had all that stuff. They had all that stuff. And God says, now, give it to me. You know what happened? When they brought what they had to God, Moses had to stand up and say, stop. Don't bring any more. You've given too much. In Exodus 36, have you ever heard of God giving, anyone in the church, have you ever been to a church service where the preacher stood up and said, please don't bring any more offering. We have way too much. Have you ever heard that? See, in churches that I frequent, when they come and ask me to preach and things like that, a lot of the African-American churches, they always say, or not always, but a lot of times, we need $25 more or $50 more or whatever the number is. And I'm like, you know what? I just got tired of hearing that. So I said, God, what am I supposed to do? Because I know you gave me a word. You showed me. And he said, not now. Not now. Right? I know you want to say it. Not now. And I said, well, when? When can I help? When can I share? He said, I'm going to give you a chance. And I was waiting and waiting and waiting. And one day I went to this church, and they were taking an offering, and they were playing the music, and people were coming up, and they were being blessed, and they were giving their money, and, you know, the offering basket was overflowing, and they were counting the money right there on the spot. And I'm thinking, man, why don't they do that in the back? You know, I'm getting all this kind of, they shouldn't do this, they shouldn't do that, and, you know, who am I to say that? But I did. So God said, if when they tell you we need X number more dollars, he said, just tell them you got it covered. I said, excuse me? He said, oh, you want it to stop, don't you? I said, well, yeah. He said, well, then tell them you got it covered. I said, well, that ain't what I had in mind, God. I wanted to tell them. He said, tell them you got it covered. How many of you know you got selective hearing sometimes? Because the number they came up with that day was something like, we need, they were trying to raise $1,000 and we need $332 more. I had about $113 that day in my pocket. Why I carried that money with me, God only knows. I never carry money in my pocket like that. But I did that day. And I thought, well, God, if you're telling me to say this, then I guess I better say it. So I went up, approached the pulpit and raised, if I could, asked if I could just speak to the guy, and I just whispered to him, and he just did like that. And I thought, well, Lord, okay, I'm let it in your hands. And I did. And that guy ended up raising the money anyway. So I thought, well, God, why did you ask me or tell me to go say I have a cover if you didn't want me to cover? He said, I wanted to see if you would be obedient enough that I could trust you to now give correction. So I ate my humble pie, repented, and then he allowed me to share this scripture. The 36th chapter of Exodus. I want somebody to go there. I want to show you something. Exodus 36. Somebody there? If you're there, won't you stand up and read verses 2 through 6. Or 2 through 7. Read 2 through 7 for me. Can somebody do that? Now, that's in your Bible. That's not Art Doakes talking. That's Jesus. Yeah. So, pastors, you got a challenge to be able to stand before the congregation and tell the people to stop bringing, because what they have brought for the work of the sanctuary is too much and then some. That would be an amazing sight, wouldn't it? Now, think about that. It says every man brought according to his specialty, to his ability, to his gift, whatever his gift was. Imagine bringing your gift so much so that it overflows the church. That's what the scripture says. So imagine if you have love and you just bring so much love that love couldn't even get in the door. Nothing else could get in the door because love is filling the house. Imagine that. We really want to live like Christ? There it is. They brought their stuff. Now, they brought it only on Sundays, right, Pastor? They brought the stuff only on Sundays. Isn't that what you read? Oh, you know, what did you read? I thought they only brought it on Sunday. Every morning. Wow. Every morning. Can you imagine that, man? Every morning he gives you a new gift. Fresh, free. Every morning, man, you imagine get up and playing something new to Jesus? Man, wouldn't that be awesome? Isn't that awesome, man? Every morning, he'll show you something different on there when you bring it to him. Hey, Lord, here's my guitar. Here's my hands. Every morning, man, he'll give you something new, and you give it right back to him. Isn't that awesome, though? Whew. El Shaddai. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Now, that word provide, Latin roots, pro and video, before seen. Are you with me? Before seen. Before it's seen, you got to believe it because he's already provided it. Prophetically. This is prophecy. Before seen, provide. Jehovah Jireh, Lord my provider. The Latin root pro video. We all watch videos. Seen it before. This is Jehovah Jireh. This is the name of God. So when we ask God and we go to God or we get a word prophetically that we haven't seen yet, it's done. It is done. If you know God as Jehovah Jireh, and you understand when he's speaking to you as Jehovah Jireh, or if he's speaking to you as Jehovah Tiskenu, the Lord our righteousness, which means blameless, guiltless. That's how he hung up there. When Jesus was on that cross, he was like Jehovah Tiskenu. He was blameless, guiltless, but he took the blame and he took the guilt, so much so that the blood ran from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet and then dropped on the ground. And then the moon dripped with blood and the sky was dark. And the earth gave up her dead. Because he was righteous. This is prophecy. Prophecy must be righteous. It must come blamelessly to you. You must give it forth blamelessly and guiltless. The prophetic unction is serious stuff. I hope this is getting through. Exodus 17, Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner. And we already talked about that. The hands lifted up. Imagine, you know, we wave a flag when we win. Imagine waving Christ. Isn't that awesome? Lifting up holy hands. Imagine that. I mean, you can just feel the power when you lift your hands up and there's nothing between you and him. You know, I've seen so many people in the church when I'm praying with them and they come up like this and I slowly just release their hands and then they begin to break because there's nothing between them and God. Come with him with an open hand. Back in the days of the Roman soldiers, a closed hand was fist, war, fighting, sword. Come like this, it's a hand of peace. Lift them up. Gideon saw him, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is my peace. In Judges, he said, look, I'll surely be with you. Judges 6:14. And guess what? Romans 8 says, if the Lord be for us or if God be for us, who can be against you? In other words, it doesn't matter who's opposing because they will not win. Newsflash, the battle's over. We're victorious. We've won in Christ, prophetically. Jehovah Rapha, he's my shepherd. We talked about that. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, and he comes that you might have life. This is a very important one. You've got to see the Lord as a sanctifier, Jehovah Makadesh, Leviticus chapter 20. Read that, because it talks about consecration and setting yourself apart. The church must be consecrated. In order to receive prophetic unction, you must be consecrated. When the prophets of old received their anointing, they were separated. Elisha was pulled off of his oxen and had to follow Elijah. He was separated. Samuel had a school of the prophets. When you have that kind of anointing on you, you're going to be separated. It's not easy. I'm telling you, it's not easy. God sends something to you sometimes and it's a separation. When you have that type of an anointing in your life, I didn't ask for it. Well, at least I didn't think I did, but when I remembered a prayer at 15, I realized I did. At 15 years old is when I actually got saved, when I invited God into my heart. And it was at the Sermon of Job, and I went home and I prayed, and I woke up that next morning, I couldn't move. I was paralyzed in my bed, and I cried out, and my mother came, and she said, what is it? I said, Mom, I can't move. And she said, well, maybe it's growing pains. I said, no, it's not growing pains, Mom, I can't move, and I was scared. And she goes, well, what did you do? Did you play ball yesterday? I said, no, I didn't. I went to church and I came home. She goes, what did you do at church? I said, well, I prayed. I said, I got saved yesterday and I prayed. And she said, well, what did you pray, son? I said, well, I asked God I didn't want him to take any more pain. I wanted to be able to feel the pain that he felt because he did it for me and I want to take it for everybody else. She goes, oh, my God, son. She goes, you don't know. She said, Mom can't help you now. She said, you're going to have to wait this one out. And I was like, Mom, I said, it hurts. And she goes, you'll be all right. My mother's very wise lady. She says, you'll be all right. And she went back down the steps. Now, when she went, I was like, Mom, don't leave me. That's what I was saying to myself. But, you know, I'm a 15-year-old boy, so I'm trying to be tough. And I realized that if she's walking away from me, she must know I'm going to be all right. And I laid there and I waited. And moments later, I could feel the activity coming back. And I realized that God really heard my prayer. But I didn't know what I was asking for. I asked him to be like Moses, Job, and David. Because I admired the stories of those men and I admired what was going on in their lives. But when I started experiencing just a tad bit of what they did, I wish I wouldn't have asked that prayer. You know, I really do. I mean, like Job, I've lost everything that I've had materially. And like Moses, I've been kicked out of some places that where I thought I was being loved and I wanted to be there. And they said, no, you don't belong here. Get out. And like David, I lost a child. Talk about hurt. Talk about wanting to say goodbye to God and everything else. I have four beautiful daughters. But there's not a day goes by that my heart doesn't ache. And I'm like, God, why? He said, you ask me. I'm showing you what I'll do when you ask. But know what you're asking. Know what you're asking. And he said, I chose you, Art. You didn't choose me, I chose you. Prophecy is no easy walk. It's no easy lifestyle. You better know your God. Elohim, God Almighty, he's three in one. And I was like, God, how do I really explain this to people? I mean, you all believe in the Trinity, right? Amen? Everybody here? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Can you explain it? Maybe. Maybe not. Somebody ask you, well, how can there be three? I thought there's only one God. How can it be God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit? Can you explain it? Mystery. But you believe it. But somebody tries to tell you it ain't so. I said, God, please give me something that I can explain that's easy enough for my finite mind to handle. And God has a sense of humor. I teach special education, and I think I'm special too. You know, I'm a slow learner. It takes me a while to get it. But when I get it, I tell people, I'm not the brightest light on the tree. But once you light me up, baby, I am not going out. No time soon. I'm like that Christmas light that you try to put in the box and it's still blinking. You know, that's me. Because once I got a taste of Jesus, I didn't want to let him go. He's just so good. It's just so wonderful when you know that it's him and not anybody else. So I said, God, please tell me something. He said, okay, Art, you ready? I said, yeah. He said, St. Patrick. I said, I'm not Irish. Look at me. I said, God, I'm not Irish. He said, no. He said, listen, man, listen. I believe this is how me and God hang out sometimes, okay? So, I mean, don't think I'm kind of way out there on the limb and crazy and don't understand, but he is so real. I mean, I don't disrespect him. He is so real that you can talk to him just like you're talking to the person next door. I mean, he is that real. And I said, and sometimes I just, you know, I'm talking to him. I said, okay, Big G, what do you got for me today? And he says, okay, Little D, this is what I have for you. And we go at it like that. You know, it's kind of like my way of making him really real to me when I know that I'm talking to him like that. Now, when I go into a reverence situation, it's totally different. But he began to explain to me. He said, St. Patrick held up a stem. Three leaves. And he asked those folks who were contemplating on whether or not the Trinity was real. He said, tell me, sirs, am I holding one stem with three leaves? Or am I holding three leaves with one stem? And if so, please explain how one stem can have three leaves. They could not. He said, if you can't explain something this simple, how do you expect to understand or accept the Trinity? Or how can you refute that it exists when you see one stem and three leaves? I thought, pretty simple. Don't understand it, but I see it. I know it's real. I don't have to know how you're God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I just know you're real. And I know who to call, when to call. And prophetically, we need to be able to do that. And let me wrap this up with stirring up your gift. How do you really receive prophecy? Matthew 18:3. This is how you receive prophecy. It's going to shock you. It's going to really shock you how to receive prophecy, how to flow in the prophetic. Matthew 18:3. You got that? Why don't you read it out loud, real loud? Yes, ma'am, you. Loud now. That's it. What do children do when their parents tell them something when they're little? They believe it. Some of us used to believe in a big jolly man with a red shirt and a white beard. Call him Santa. Oh, I'm sorry. Just a... And that wasn't in the notes either, man. That's good stuff. But he said, except we be as little children. He said, I tell you a lie. Did he say? Oh, I tell you the truth? Your Bible says that for real. Does your Bible say that too, Miss Rachel? I tell you the truth? No, come on. Does yours say that? I tell you the truth. Except you be as little children. You put down everything you think you know and listen to what the Holy Spirit tells you you need to know. That's how you receive prophecy. That's how you flow in the prophetic. You have to become like a child when it comes to the Word of God, spoken by God. Now, do you think that God would give you something to harm you? The loving God that He is that went on the tree to die for your sins and mine, do you think that He would allow you to receive a word that would do you harm? No, He would not. So if you have any difficulty or trouble believing the Word of God, ask Him. God, you died for this whole purpose, for me receiving this one word. Is this the word that I need? I am a child, God. I need your confirmation. And God will give it to you. Except ye be as little children, you will not enter into the kingdom of God. You can't access the ways of the King unless you become as a child. Unless you become, you have that blind faith, so to speak, that you're just going to follow Him and do whatever He says. Trust Him at His very word. And allow that spirit to match your spirit, and then try it to see whether it be of God. Try it. You know, my children have access to Dad wherever I am. And we have to know God. Now understand this. The dichotomy is this. You are the bride of Christ and you are a child. My children have full access to me. There's only one time when they don't. When my wife has full access to me. My children have to wait. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? When it's time for a man and a woman to be one, the children do not intervene. They cannot come between that. Because God said what He put together, let what? No man put asunder. So we have to understand our place and our position and our purpose. Prophecy. The divine utterance of God. The purpose is to build the church. The purpose is to equip the saints. The purpose is to do the work of ministry. That's the purpose. That's what it's all about. And you're a child, you have access to Him. You're a bride, there's a different type of access that you have. There's a different type of intimacy, I love my children and I treat them. We are intimate, but I am not intimate with my children the way I'm intimate with my wife. There's a different level of intimacy. Are you with me? When I go to God as his child, there is a different level of intimacy that he takes me in than when I go to him as part of the bride, the corporate body of Christ. There's a different level of intimacy. There's a different purpose of which I'm approaching him. When I go to him as a child, it's just me and him. When I go to him as the bride, it's the church. Are you with me? See, when you go as part of the bride, you're not going alone. It's a corporate effort now. But when you go as a child, you are going on your own accord to him. It is a one-on-one situation with God. And he's able to distinguish between the two. He understands that. And he will give it to you the way that you need it when you need it. He'll point that direction to you. He will make it so plain so that you'll never misunderstand the purpose of prophecy and the plan. Now, I've given you a lot in just an encapsulated period, and there's much more, but that should be enough to get you started, to get you to the point where you can say, okay, God, I can get my hands around this a little bit. And just give me a demonstration real quick. Would you come on up? Come on up. Sir in the white shirt, come on up. George, come on up. Dennis. Okay, I want you three to stand side by side. All right. Pastor, come on up. Yeah, come on up. The other one's back there working. He's... Now, you come in the front. Now, what you're going to symbolize is you're going to be able to... This is God. Okay? This is God right here. Now, shoulder to shoulder, brothers. Okay. Put your arms around God. Uh-oh. He's struggling a little bit, isn't he? But you got to, wait a minute. This is God, man. You got to get your arms around God. Can you do that? Not and feel comfortable. I like that. I got you.
I'm with you.
That was good. I like that. So I'm not going to ask him to turn around. Oh, man, this is good stuff. Woo! Come on. I need you, man. I need you too. Shoulder to shoulder, guys, come on up. No, you're gonna face these guys. But shoulder to shoulder. You three, shoulder to shoulder. Brother Mask, come on up. Come on up. Pick a shoulder. All right, now spread your arms out and move until you're at hand to hand. Okay, now, can you touch Brother Mass's hand? A lot easier to put your arms around God now, isn't it? Are we seeing it? How do we get to God? We got to come together. Now, anywhere God looks, sees his children. And incidentally, this position of sheep, for those of you that have ever seen sheep, the way they fight off an intruder is they get in a circle and they look like one great big ball of white wool. And the wolf can't attack it because it's too big. And whatever, he sees it all the way around and he's frustrated. But if there was the least little bit of opening, he could come in and attack this one and attack this one and go all the way around until he could destroy 400 or 500. One wolf could do that. But as long as they stay united, the image is too great. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit stayed united so that you wouldn't be attacked and that you wouldn't be harmed and that you would be precious in His sight. And He could turn and look. Turn around, Brother Dennis. And you got His back. Turn around, brother. And you just put your back, face to Him. Now you see all the way around. Now, Brother Dennis, turn sideways this way. Turn back to back. Turn that way. Got you covered from all directions. And the body is still intact. Prophecy will come to the church when the church comes together. Amen. Thank you all so much. It's in your hands.
Let's stand and worship God together.
See the King of Glory, You're coming on the clouds with fire. The whole earth shakes, the whole earth shakes. I see His love and mercy watching over all our sin. People sing, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith. I see a near revival, yes, stirring as we pray and see. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Heal my heart and make it clean.
Heal my heart and make it clean.
Open up my eyes for the
things unseen. Show me how to love like you.
As love
me.
Break my heart for what breaks you.
Break my heart for what breaks you.
Everything I am. Kingdom's course, as I walk from earth into eternity.
Yes.
Hosanna, 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 Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna. Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest.
Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Heal my heart for what may cling. Open up my eyes to the things unseen.
Show me how a love like you
and love
me.
Break my heart for what breaks you.
Break my heart for what breaks you.
Everything I am for your kingdom's cause. And as I walk from earth into eternity.
Open our eyes, Lord, let us see all that you are, all that you mean. Open our ears, Lord, let us hear all that you are, be loud and clear. Please be near. As our praises rise, may your presence fall. Heaven, heaven fall down. Spirit, Spirit pour out. Warn us all now. Heaven fall down. Come, Jesus, come, come like the wind. Fill up this place, we welcome you in. Come, Jesus, come, come like the rain. Open the sky, show us your face. Oh Lord, come, Jesus, come, come like the wind. Fill up this place, we welcome you in. Come, Jesus, come, come like the rain. Open the sky, show us your face. Oh Lord, Come, Jesus, come, come like the wind. Fill up this place, we welcome you in. Come, Jesus, come, come like the rain. Open the sky, show us your face. Oh Lord, we wait as our praises rise. May your presence fall, heaven, heaven fall down. Spirit, Spirit pour out, heaven. Heaven, heaven fall down. Spirit, Spirit pour out on us all now. Heaven fall down. We're crying out. We're crying out in desperation, waiting now in expectation, crying out in desperation for you. Oh, we're crying out in desperation, waiting now in expectation, crying out in desperation for you. Yes, we're crying out. Oh, we're crying out in desperation, waiting now in expectation, crying out in desperation for you. Heaven, heaven, heaven fall down. Spirit, Spirit pour out. Heaven, heaven fall down. Spirit, Spirit pour out on us all now. Heaven fall down. Won't you come, Lord? Welcome you here, Spirit. Pour out on us.
Amen.
Amen.
To be molded by God, to be moved by Him, to be a fool. He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us all. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us all. You know, this is the perfect song to dance with God, you know. He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of the sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. He loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And we are his portion, and he is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in his eyes. If grace is an ocean, we're all sinking. So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns so violently inside of my chest, and I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. Yes, he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. I welcome if you had taken the time recently to bask in God's love, hunger and thirst for more. I beg of you at this time, us. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us. Draw me close to you. And never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You were my desire. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. To feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you. Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. Yes, you are my design. No one else will do. No one else will do. 'Cause nothing else could take your place. Feel the warmth of your embrace. Help me find the way. Bring me back to you. You're all I want. All I want, no one. You're all I've ever needed. All I ever need, and you're all I want. Help me know you, I need. 'Cause you're all I want. All I want, Lord. You're all I've ever need. All I ever need, and you're. Help me know you are you are holy, you are faithful. You are Savior, you are friend. You are all I'll ever need, Lord, you are. You are every question's answer. You are every reason why. You are moving, you still, Lord, you are. You are the Lord on high. You are the way, the truth, the life. You are the Word made flesh. You are the bright morning star. You are. You are glory, hallelujah. You are hope of peace on earth. You are Alpha and Omega. You are comfort. You are comfort. You are refuge. You are love personified. You are kindness and compassion. You are, let's do that again.
Yes.
You are glory, hallelujah. You are hope of peace on earth. You are Alpha and Omega. You're my comfort and refuge. You are comfort, you are refuge. You are love personified. You are kindness and compassion. You are glory, hallelujah. You are hope of peace on earth. You are Alpha and Omega. You are, we're gonna bless the Lord, because you are comfort, you are refuge, you are love personified, you are kindness and compassion. You are the Lord, you are the Lord on high. You are the way, the truth, the life. You are the Word made flesh. You are the bright morning star. You are my God and my King. You are the words that I sing. You are the reason I make this offering. You are my God and my King. You are the words that I sing. You are the reason I make this offering. You are my God and my King. You are the words that I sing. You are the reason I make this offering. You are my God and my King. You are my God and my King. You are the words that I sing. You are the reason I make this offering. You are the Lord on high. You are the way, the truth, the life. You are the Word made flesh. You are the bright morning star. Jesus, you are. we are going to leave on the note that we started with.
And it was amazing to pick me.
Oh, he is so good. Well, you've just been a blessing all day today. He is really using you.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
So much like God, though.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
Yes.
See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Open the eyes.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
See you high.
See you high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. See you high lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Won't you pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to sing. Holy, 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 you are holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
One more time.
Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
Church, I just need to share something with you, really. About 4 years ago, I'm ministering in a chicken house in Greenwood. And it was for youth. And God had put a burden on my heart that night before I went there. And he told me that if I would be obedient, he would bring forth ministry from among the youth. And I hadn't had much problem listening and saying things, but when it came forth to speak forth ministry in someone, I didn't feel anywhere near qualified because I knew how I struggled accepting and receiving the call. He wouldn't let me go, and he, everywhere I went, he sent somebody my way to remind me. I was in New Jersey in an auditorium of about 500 or 600 soldiers, and it was dark, and we were practicing a graduation. And I was an NCO, and a young soldier came up to me. He said, "Excuse me, Sergeant, can I have a word with you?" And I was a little abrupt with that young man, and I said, "What is it?" And that's not me. I've never been that type of person ever. But for some reason that day I was abrupt. And he said nothing, and he walked away. And I felt bad. The next day I saw him again, and I went to him and I said, "Come here, soldier." I said, "I want to apologize to you." I said, "I was abrupt with you yesterday, and I didn't mean to be that way." I said, "You asked me a question." And God sent him out of all the, and I'd never seen this young man before, but I saw him 2 days in a row. And he said to me, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "Heavens, no." I said, "What makes you say that?" He said, "Well, when you walked across the stage and there was others up there," he said, "there was this light right over you everywhere you went." I said, "No, I'm not." And I went on about my business. A couple years later, I was speaking to a group of nursery school students. Nursery school. And when I finished, the lady came up to me and she said, "Are you a pastor?" I said, "No, ma'am, I am not." She said, "You ought to be." I said, "What makes you say that?" The whole time you were talking, little children were saying, "Look at the light on him." About a year or so later, I was cutting my grass and working in the yard. I thought, "I'm going to go make a purchase of a bottle of wine. Go figure." Walked into that store, picked up the bottle of wine. The man behind the counter said, "Are you a pastor?" "No, sir, I am not." He said, "Well, you ought to be." I said, "Let me guess." I said, "You see a light?" He said, "No." He said, "You got that same look my brother had when he was running." I walked out of that store. The bottle of wine stayed in there. Went up the next morning and was playing basketball and sprained my ankle. Terribly sprained it. It swole up the size of a grapefruit. They thought it was broken, but it wasn't. They put me in a wheelchair, gave me crutches and everything, and I said, "I got to go to work the next day. I'm a soldier. I can't be." They said, "You're not going anywhere." I said, "I'm going to work." When I got home that night, my wife said, "The grass needs cut." I could barely get my boot over the ankle. I couldn't tie it. It was throbbing terribly. So I went next door and I asked the fellow, I said, "Do you have like a beer or something that I could drink to take away this pain?" He said, "Sure, Art." Well, I got that and was getting ready to go cut my grass, and a gentleman across the street saw me. He says, "Hey, son, can I pray for you?" And I'm holding this can, getting ready, thinking it's hot. I want to drink this because I got a pain in my ankle. And he says, "What's in your hand?" well... He said, "Do you mind if I pray for you?" I said, "No, sir." So I sat that down, and he reached across the fence and touched my leg and prayed for me. And I went cutting my grass. I guess I'm a litterer now because I don't remember picking that can up. The swelling in my ankle was gone completely. When I went to work the next day, I worked inside of a mall. That's where our recruiters worked. And it just so happened that the fellow that treated me in the hospital was walking through with his wife, and he saw me. And he came back, and he pointed, and he said, "Oh, my God, what are you doing here? You are not supposed to be up." I said, "Nothing's wrong with me." He said, "Your ankle." I said, "It's fine." And he almost fell out because he knew what it looked like less than 24 hours before that. Long story short, I ended up accepting the call after two more encounters. That one was near death with a car. It stopped right in the middle of the road at TGI Fridays, and a truck was coming full speed. And I said, "Lord, what is it?" He said, "You heard me. You didn't answer." And I was trying to start my car, and it wouldn't start. And the truck's coming, and now it's at the old Sherwin-Williams paint store, which is about 100 yards away from the light. And I'm thinking, get out of the car and run. Let him just hit the car, and the car will be done, but I'll be okay. And I couldn't get out the door. I have power locks, and they wouldn't open. So I said, "Okay, Lord, yes." The car started up, and I got out of the way, and the truck went by blowing his horn. So I said, "All right, you got me." That was a Saturday. That Sunday, I was on my way to church. Now, mind you, this is the same little boy that couldn't wait to get to Sunday school. Okay? And everywhere I went, I didn't fit in. People would always tell me, you know, if I would hang out with the guys, "Get me in here." "No, you don't need that art. They wouldn't let me. I tried. Wouldn't let me. Thank God I never put that stuff to my feet. They wouldn't let me. Somehow it was always intervention. I'm driving to a church thinking I'm going to one church in Dover. My car turns into another. I get up there. There's an old man, 84 years old. His name was Deacon Evans. I'll never forget him. If you ever saw the sitcom Amen with Sherman Hemsley, and he looked like Deacon Rollo. Looked just like that guy. And he kept his eyes on me the entire service. The pastor got up, and after he finished preaching, he said, walked to the back. He said, "Somebody in here has to say something. God is moving on your heart." And I'm like, "Oh, my God, I can't acknowledge this call. Not here. I don't know these people, Lord. I can't say nothing." No. And some lady got up and testified, and I was like, "Thank God, I don't have to say anything." And he went on to get ready to dismiss. He said, "I thank you for your testimony, but you're not the one God is telling me. There's somebody else." And this man is still looking right at me, and I'm like, "God, why is this old man looking at me?" So I finally stood up, and I said, "It's me. God has been calling me to preach, and I've been running, and today I'm acknowledging it." And as soon as I said that, that old man said, "I knew it. God told me not to take my eyes off of that young man when he came in until he acknowledged his calling." And I was like, and the tears flowed, and I said, "Okay." Well, that was 1992, and been preaching the gospel ever since. So when I went to Greenwood, and I made this announcement that there was a young man that the Lord had put on his heart to carry the gospel, I had that trembling sensation. And this young man came forward, and that was okay, but in my spirit, God said, "No, there's somebody else." And the somebody else didn't come, and I left there thinking, "I know I heard you. I know exactly what you said, and I believe I did exactly what you told me to do, but it didn't work this time, God. You gave me a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom, and then you turned that to prophecy, because there's knowledge, there's ignorance when you don't know, there's knowledge when you know a little bit, there's wisdom when you know how to use the knowledge, and then there's understanding when you know why you're using it, when, where, and who, and how." Kind of like driving a car. You know, infants are ignorant to driving a car. A toddler has some knowledge. They know that you turn the wheel. That's all they know. You know, teenagers know that you put your foot on the gas and go. You know, at least adults know you got to put gas in the car. Teenagers just drive until it almost runs out. And then you have the mechanic that knows that when you stick that key in the car and he knows what's happening underneath the motor and he knows that all the stuff that's working together, the drive shaft to make that car turn and make the wheels go and the spark plugs fire, getting your combustion. He knows all of that. He has understanding. 4 years later, and I talked earlier about the appointed time, this young man comes to tell me he was the second person. Now, what does that mean to you? If I prophesied it 4 years ago, and I thought I missed God, I knew I heard him, but because it didn't happen right then and there, I thought I missed him. And there have been times when I have been a little reluctant to share because I didn't want to miss God, but I knew I heard him. I knew his voice. The Bible says, my sheep will know my voice, and a stranger's they will not hearken to. God's sheep knows his voice. And God allowed me right here at Canaan Mennonite to get the confirmation that, yes, I did hear him. Now, imagine what that's doing for me right now. By you coming to me and letting me know 4 years later, I mean, I am overjoyed. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I feel like I can go talk to anybody now. Because after 4 years, God kept his word. Do you hear me? After 4 years, he kept his word. Now, four is a long way from 450, what Israel felt. But for when you go through something and you do what God tells you to do, or you think he's saying it and it doesn't happen, it weighs you down. You worry. You carry that. But God, as my witness, he will perform it. He is not a man that he should lie. And I will not say it if he doesn't tell me to say it. So, man, I tell you, the charge that is on your life, take off your running shoes, get settled, sit under good leadership, get good teaching, let them train you up, let them nurture you, let them pray for you, and fulfill that call on your life. Because I'm telling you, the enemy will come every which way he can, but he cannot shake what God has put on you. He cannot shake it. And it will come to pass, and you will release that anointing into the lives of another. Because you're a witness. Man, God bless you.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, man.
Is there anything you'd like to share? caught him off guard, he said. Just like God, isn't it? Thank you so much. Amen.
I'd like to thank you all for coming. Anybody that still needs ministry or wants to talk to somebody, you're welcome to take care of that, but we're going to dismiss, and if you need ministry, please get it. If there's something on your heart and you just can't come forward now, take it to church tomorrow, bring it back next week, whatever you have to do, but finish your work with God, and remember to be broken bread and poured out wine, okay? That's what we are. We're the body of Christ. Let somebody break you and pour you out, but do something for other people, okay? Don't hold it for yourself. Don't be the lion's club or the Milford Library Ladies Auxiliary. Be the church, please. Be the church.